Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, I have with me a fantastic guest. In fact, I've tried to get him for months, no joke. I even brought him to our conference to potentially speak, but his book wasn't ready at the time, but now it is. And it's called AI, Artificial Intelligence as Your Teammate. And this is Evan Ryan. How are you doing today, Evan?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. So excited, man, to hang out.
This is cool. First of all, you're in Ohio. Second of all, you're in Strategic Coach. We share a lot of similarities, although you have hair, I don't, and I'm old and you're not. But tell us a little bit about, tell you what, before you get into the big cool stuff about AI, give people the little sound bites, like how AI is going to just totally optimize the world, why they should pay attention. Give them the why about the next 30 minutes, why they should listen.
What if we went back to the 1950s? And we said that in 70 years, you'll be able to talk to anybody in the world, essentially, and you'll be able to see them while you talk to them. All that would be done with three clicks on a computer. The reason why you can see them so well would be because of this new thing called AI. But in the process, all 1.5 million telephone switchboard operators would lose their jobs.
Whoa.
At first, everybody would be really afraid, right? And everybody would feel like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with all these telephone switchboard operators? And then what if I told you that while you were able to do that, we were in the biggest labor shortage in history, and you could do more fascinating and motivating work than ever before?
Boom. Sold. That's pretty intriguing. Okay. All right. I'm hooked. So you said a few principles in there that are important. You basically said that things are not staying the same because in 1950, you know, things changed, obviously. So things are not staying the same. You said that AI allows us the ability to choose what we really want to invest our lives in. That's huge because a lot of people think, oh, AI is the enemy, but your approach is that AI is actually going to free us up. So just give us your background. Tell us how you got into this stuff, and this will be a fun chat.
Yeah. So in 2016, I was about to graduate from college. This was fall of 2016. I was about to graduate from college. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I had a sense that I wanted to start a company at some point, but I didn't really know what I wanted to start it in. And I ended up in San Francisco at this technology conference where in a very small room, this guy by the name of Jeremy Howard, who was previously the number one ranked AI researcher in the world. They actually ranked them. He was talking about all the things that you could do with AI. Now, this was like 5.5 years ago. And as he was talking about it, my jaw kind of hit the floor. And then he said, you know, we have a company that can view CT scans and MRIs with AI, and it can better correctly diagnose cancer than a team of board certified doctors.
Gee.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Like if you can do that now, what are you going to be able to do in 10 or 15 or 20 years? And as I started to dive into it more and more, what I fell in love with was the idea that I wouldn't have to do boring stuff anymore. Like, what if I could only do the things that are really interesting or that are my unique ability or that really push the ball forward in my business or in my life? Like, what if I could use AI to get rid of all the small tasks, the tasks that take time, or the things where, you know, you dread a task more for longer than you would actually spend doing the task, right? You dread a task for 3 hours and it only takes a half hour to do it.
Wow.
What if we could just use AI to do all of that stuff? So in my mind, I've always seen AI as a huge opportunity. And now that we help businesses with AI, now that we use AI in our own business, I see AI as a massive, massive opportunity for employees of companies to be able to free themselves up from the stuff that they have to do in order to do their job description, but also for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs to be able to save 5 or 10 or 15 hours a week, right, without adding that payroll. So I think the hardest part for a lot of entrepreneurs is, you know, do I add the payroll or do I work a little bit harder to get that one more client that I need in order to be able to add the payroll that I, to be able to grow the business? What if you could get like kind of the best of all the worlds? You save that time, but you don't have the payroll and you get that client and then you can expand your team from there.
So good, man. Gee. All right. So in the time period that we've known each other, which has been a couple of years, with the moment you said AI, I already like did that, you know? Like, in other words, I loved that concept. I didn't know a lot about it, but it intrigued me. The amount of headlines, press, utility, practicality of AI the last 2 years has been mind-blowing. Whether it's Elon Musk or Meta or, you know, you take pretty much any company. Why do you think there's been this sudden explosion of adoption?
I think at a technical level, computer hardware has gotten really, really good over the last couple of years. And what previously would take a long time or be really expensive now is available relatively cheaply over the cloud. And the barriers to entry are very low. I think the software for AI has gotten a lot better as well. But I also think that people are being really creative about what they could possibly do with it. And in our world, that creativity shows up by asking yourself, you know, what do I do every day that I absolutely hate? And then we'll start by automating that. And so I think that the kind of openness to AI has come. I think the technology has finally gotten there. There are still some technologies, you know, that are still 5 years away, like quantum computing. It's been promised for like 10 or 15 years, probably still another 5 or 10 years away. Right. And so there are technologies that do that kind of, that are still in that phase. But I think now AI has finally gotten to the point where it's usable and it can create a really meaningful difference.
Awesome. Is an example of AI cobots, meaning I've seen in some of my research, because you and I were chatting about my secret project and I'm very excited about it, but I had to explore a lot of different technologies for this project. And one of them was humans and machines working alongside each other. And it sounds weird, but you see some of these movies and I forget what they are actually right now. Maybe it's Mandalorian or something, but you see Matrix, actually Matrix 4, but you see some of these movies where there's technology and humans, even Star Wars, C-3PO and all those people are robots. Is that where we're going? Where it's not humans or machines doing a job, but it's like together we're doing a job. What do you think?
I do, personally. It's not necessarily something that I'm super excited about. I just think it's an inevitability. There are a couple of really great Black Mirror episodes about this. But
yeah, that's right. You were telling me about that show. I mean, I didn't watch it yet, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's some crazy Black Mirror episodes about this. But I think it's an inevitability because you could use robots in warehouses right now. Like, where do we have labor shortages? Those are going to be the first places where we deploy robots. There's a reason why we have those labor shortages, right? Yeah.
We've been moving that way for years. Like, in other words, I go to Walmart, I go to Kroger here in the Ohio or whatever. And rather than checking out, there's a machine. I mean, that's been there for years. So it's not like we haven't started this, but you kind of believe that we're on this upswing?
I do. I don't know if you saw that Tesla did an AI day several months ago. And they have, they have like a humanoid type robot. It walks at like 2.5 miles an hour, something like that. They put a limit on how fast it walks. That way, if something happened to it, you could run away. But It's meant to be used for a factory setting. I think over time, a really interesting use case for that kind of a thing could be a companionship for senior citizens. If it got really, really good and it could be empathetic,
Ooh.
having something that could be a companion would be really, I think, quite fascinating. So
Interesting.
I do think that that's going to be a thing that happens. I don't think that it's not something that I give a lot of thought to because I think it's an inevitability. So I don't ask myself how I feel about it. But it'll start out as a commercial use case. I think the market for it as a more personal use case for companionship or that kind of thing will very possibly be much bigger than the commercial use case.
Don't they even have counseling now where, like, for mental health, it's almost AI? I thought I saw something like that. I don't know. You ever
Yeah,
see
they
something
do.
like that
And
where, yeah.
no, you can ask a question.
Oh, just like the pre-programmed, maybe, empathy is, yes, a human skill, but it could be learned. And is that crazy to think that, hey, unless someone can reach an AI therapist in the middle of the night, they may commit suicide?
Yes, that does exist. Without going too low level into it, it's really meant as kind of a first line of defense, especially in a therapy setting. But really, chatbots overall are really meant as a first line of defense. They're meant to help 20 or 30 or 40 or 50% of the questions not hit a human, and then you can have fewer humans go deeper, have deeper relationships with the people who need that help, right?
Interesting.
Especially if you're having a hard time filling the roles in particular, you need that chatbot layer there in order to allow humans to help themselves and kind of ask the questions. But a really interesting use case outside of mental health, but very similar use case was I had to call Apple support. And they said, hey, I'm like right as soon as I called, I'm an AI. You can speak to me just as you would speak to a human. We'll see if I can answer your question for you. So I told the AI what I needed, and I actually don't even remember what it was at the time. This was a few months ago. But I told the AI what I needed. The AI said, I'm actually not the right person to answer that. So I'm just going to forward you on to a human who will be able to take care of it for you. The entire customer service call took less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there are use cases going on inside of mental health to help kind of ask people questions, possibly de-escalate situations, and give people that sort of an empathetic touch.
Yes.
And then if that doesn't work, what's happening is you're actually freeing up the humans behind the scenes to be able to really give them the time and the attention that they need.
This is huge. I know you're into productivity. I'm into productivity. I think you can take productivity to an unbalanced level where, you can not even breathe in the day or something. But I thought of you the other day when my family was ordering bibimbap right at Polaris Parkway. Okay, so check it out. Right, I pick up my daughter. And my wife texts me and says, hey, we should get bibimbap tonight. And I know that I could be like, hey, can you place an order or can one of the kids? But it was a tough, stressful day. And I said, you know what? I'll just order it. So while I'm driving, I call bibimbap and the whole order, everything is done by AI. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I thought they would get it wrong. Like, because my son says he wants this dish, but he doesn't want this vegetable. And I'm like, they're gonna totally screw this up. Oh, and and then they wanted Rice Krispie treats. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're gonna put the Rice Krispie treat in the noodles or whatever. No, they got it perfect.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like those types of tools. The old phone tree where you have to listen to every possible like option and then you click a button and then you
Yeah.
listen to all the options, you click a button. That is a horrible user experience. But
Yeah.
like your experience was AI increasing productivity while the customer experience got better.
It was probably better than a human. The other thing was they saved their time. I just pulled up and literally walked in and just pulled my bag off the rack because they even did the checkout. It was mind blowing. And I'm thinking here, they save time. I save time. I just gained probably 20 minutes. Now you and I are in strategic coach. We kind of know what our hourly value is and this type of thing. But when you're an entrepreneur and the buck stops with you and you're trying to run a company, 20 minutes, that's like much more expensive than the meal. So this is what I want people to realize. It's efficiencies. It's effectiveness. Tell us about your book. I got a copy. Thank you so much. First of all, how hard was it to write a book? Was it pretty hard or did you use AI?
I used AI. I'll tell you how I wrote it. And this is like basically what the book is it's making AI accessible to anybody, whether you're a one person entrepreneur in the Midwest or you have a team of 500 and you're out in Silicon Valley. Basically, how do you think about AI in your world? How can you define it? How do you figure out what to automate? And then from there, how do you make that a reality? So that's what the book is, but a practical example I think is going to be best. So what I did in order to write the book was I created an outline. The outline had the 8 chapters that are in it, and I kind of created like a few bullet points underneath each chapter. Yes. So I had a couple of subheads. And I went on Zoom. I had 5 people interview me for 2 hours each. The next step, and they just asked me, you know, what does this mean? Can you tell me more about this? And I had people from different backgrounds, but they were all my target reader. I just asked me questions for a couple of hours. And I used otter.ai to transcribe it all. And I copied and pasted it into the Word doc. From there, all I did was edit. And 6 weeks later, I had done 12 rounds of revisions, including 2 different editors, and I submitted the manuscript. I submitted the manuscript to get it done. We almost had no edits after that. And so, yeah, the whole process took 6 weeks, but it was because I was able to use AI to do the typing. That way I could just get my thoughts out on paper and then rock and roll. And that kind of stuff, you know, otter.ai is like $9.99 a month, something like that. Like, that's the kind of AI that I think most people need. They need, like, they need their meetings transcribed so that they can have immediate notes, right? Or they need, like, an AI to schedule their meetings for them or to just move data from Stripe to Amazon KDP to BookBaby to Ingram Spark to whatever. They just need, like, some simple stuff done that takes 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. They don't need to be building self-driving cars. And so that's where I think like the productivity is increased.
So I love that. I mean, that, oh my gosh, you got my mind going because you used AI to write a book on AI. That's you need to get that out, man. That's your angle with the media, new entrepreneur uses AI to write book on AI in 6 weeks. I mean, that's it. That's fantastic. So what does your book help people do? It helps them understand how easy it is to use AI. What else?
It'll teach you what are the tools that are already publicly available that you can sign up for, no code required. So one great tool that we use is Cotsmith.ai. It's AI to write your marketing copy for you. On our website, some of our marketing copy was written by an AI and we did not make changes to it. So for like $20 or $30 a month, our marketing copy version 1 was written for us and we didn't even need a version 2. There are other tools that are amazing like Zapier, which connects all your pieces of technology together. It saves me, Zapier on its own saves me like 10 hours a week. Jeez. And I'm by no means a power user of it, but it teaches you how to make it real today. So how can you think about AI in your world? Things like how can I gain productivity while also enhancing my customer experience? But also then, so, okay, great. Now that we've thought about it, how can we actually do it today?
I love it. I love it. Do this, Evan. Sign out, sign back in. Let's see if your video comes clear. I'm going to promote your book while you do that, okay? Awesome. So listen, folks. Evan's book is worth it. And here's why. How much is your time worth? Think about that for a moment. How much is your time worth? If your time is worth more than 15 bucks an hour, then, oh, you're good. If somebody's time is worth more than 15 bucks an hour, they need to get your book.
Well, I have a couple of questions. So you're doing a ton in tech right now. The podcast is Blockchain Life. The show is Blockchain Life. Are you seeing Web3 projects that are using AI? Because I've 100%. Seen a couple, but I haven't seen that many. So I'm curious about this.
Yes. I believe, Evan, that there's multiple streams for the new world. Okay. So for example, AR, augmented reality, VR, virtual reality, XR, extended reality, MR, mixed reality, metaverse, 5G, AI. Like, you start going into this, and here's why I think we're on the verge of something nutty, like crypto, everything. It's all talking to each other now. In other words, the power's in the integration. I mean, I remember as a kid going to the mall and them having this new VR headset. So, I mean, that was like a long time ago. So it's not that VR is all that, but it's that VR talks to crypto, which talks to Web3, which talks to AI, which, you know, like now all of a sudden you're like, and that's to me the power of Web3. It's that we're moving from platform walled garden, you know, that they talk about, to now interoperability. And to me, that's the secret. So yeah, I do think AI is going to be a piece, dare I say, of most projects.
Interesting. So right now, what I'm seeing in the Web3 world is I'm seeing almost like, I've only seen a couple of projects that even mention AI. And so it's very interesting that you're seeing that, because I also see it. Like, that's the future that I see is you are like, your digital life is primarily being transacted with cryptocurrency. And that digital life could be on your phone. It could be on your computer. It could be on your iPad. It could be in your goggles or your glasses or whatever it is. But in my mind, AI powers a lot of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And crypto is the financial ecosystem for it.
Yes.
But I'm almost seeing nothing about this, which is what's so interesting to me. It's like,
oh, you're there. You are so there. Yeah. I think that's why your book makes so much sense. To me, it's essential reading. If you get into Web3, everyone, and you're not also including an AI element, I think you're going to get chewed up. Have you heard of an author named Kathy Hackle?
No.
Okay. You got to check out her book. This is for you. I believe it's called The Augmented Workforce. But she's known as the godmother of the metaverse, whatever that means. And
I was going to ask what that meant.
Yeah. But she's kind of brought in on a lot of big projects with companies to help them think through. And I read this book, The Augmented Workforce, and she brings in AI and 5G and some other things. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa. So I think it's going to fit with your book.
Have you at Easton done the Dreamscape experience?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I want to know.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the Dreamscape experience, basically this company Dreamscape, the CEO is a former, like, I might get this wrong, but you're going to get the point. Like the former head of Imagineering at Disney and like used to work at MGM. And what they do is they create these VR experiences that are like Hollywood quality, where you are a player in the game. And wow. It is unbelievable. I'll tell you a story
at
about
Easton. At Easton Mall.
At Easton, yeah. Yeah, right next to the movie theater. So I had an experience, a trial experience with it, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago now. And they were taking us through all these different worlds. And at one point, so there was a partner. Like, I wasn't the only person in the experience. There was somebody else. But, of course, we were in goggles, and we had, like, the hand things on and the feet things on, so that we had all the sensors. And we were in this, like, Indiana Jones type of experience where at one point I had to throw a torch to my partner. But it was a real baseball bat, like a plastic baseball bat that they retrofitted with sensors. And so in the VR world, it was a torch. But in the physical world, I was literally throwing a baseball bat. And the AI was so good that it was able to track it for you, even though you weren't able to see it in the real world.
Oh my gosh.
Well, somebody else did this experience at this event. Somebody else did this experience. And you had to take the torch and you had to go through this tiny little cave. And the cave, I mean, I still remember the cave. It was absolutely terrifying. And the walls were kind of like closing in on you.
Oh my gosh.
And he reached out to go support himself on the wall. But of course, it wasn't there. So he ended up like falling over in this thing. But it was like, wow, for the first time, I thought to myself, you know, the digital world can be so amazing as an immersive experience.
Oh, yeah.
In my mind, it's powered by AI. And I think what we'll see is that cryptocurrency is the primary transaction mechanism for all of that. And everything will be stored as NFTs. And I think we're going to have receipts stored as NFTs.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I mean, marriage certificates, VIN numbers. Right now, you purchase certain types of cars in Italian make. They're already issuing you an NFT, which is your digital sign of ownership. You know, so
Could you imagine a prenup as an NFT, where if you decide to get divorced, it just automatically distributes the assets. You don't have to go through lawyers and everything.
That's interesting. See, there you go. But you know what's interesting?
I'm not married.
No, I gotcha. By the way, let your sister know that I may have your sister's an amazing caterer. So drop her link. What's her link?
Cookwithnina.com. N-I-N-A, cookwithnina.com. She's amazing.
Yeah. Cookwithnina.com. So I have an event at Shawshank in June. And so I need to reach out to her to book her.
Super cool.
We need to talk offline because the moment this thing ends, I'm going to share an idea with you. And I already bought the domain name, of course. But this is in June, and I think it could be very big, and I think you could be there with me. So
can we talk about something that I think it affects my world and your world?
Go for it.
Which is, I could see a future where you could use AI to find vulnerabilities in IP. Meaning you could actually identify where IP is like weak or where things are expiring, and then you could snatch it up in theory before the actual owner even knows.
Like, I like that.
I could really see a future where there are computers constantly running in the background, honestly, like the Facebook algorithm works, where it's just finding the highest quality IP that it thinks is expiring, and there's no further protection on it. Is that something that you could see?
Listen, I think it's something we could create for blockchain life. Because the old school was, I won't say the company's name, but I had a meeting with them last fall about, because they're very worried about their IP. And that's certain environments are, you know, like, I mean, crazy hyper worried, like as in they don't sleep at night. And certain brands, they have to be. I mean, I've heard of certain fashion brands that will burn their clothes if they're extras just to keep up. And I mean, there's the whole ethical thing about that. But I mean, there's some companies that live and die on scarcity. But anyway, the solution they had back in the fall was very rough. It's a Google alert concept where you type in a term and it kind of like scours the internet, but not in the way that you're saying. The way you're saying is, oh my gosh, I mean, it's almost like a IP security system.
I think people are going to need it. I think actually they already need it now is the truth of it, especially companies where the primary asset on their balance sheet is IP. I
That's
mean,
true.
they have to treat their IP like horse racers treat their horses, which is you have to like unfortunately you have to like put down the horse if there's something that goes wrong. I could see a huge problem with a bad actor going in and snatching up a bunch of IP that wasn't supposed to be snatched up. That gets tied up in court for a really long time. That could be unbelievably expensive.
We say at Blockchain Life, your world connected and protected. And so I think there's free zone thoughts, on this very topic. This is good. So I know this is just the beginning. We're at the 30-minute mark, but let's tell people where they can find you. And when you got off for those 30 seconds, I told people, I said, think about your hourly value and think about how many hours Evan's book's going to save you. And then realize you're foolish if you don't get the book and read it. Because you literally, I mean, I know you've probably heard stories about people reading this where they're like, oh my gosh, Evan, you saved me 5 hours, or you saved me 10, or you saved me, like you said, Zapier, 10 hours a week. Are you hearing
It
stories
happens
like
all
that?
the time. It happens all the time. And, there's like the financial component of I save 5 hours or 10 hours. For me, at one point, I was able to literally get 20 hours a week out of Zapier alone. And so the financial component is there in really starting to like really kind of measuring on an ROI basis. I think what's even more exciting and inspiring for me is the mental weight that is lifted by not having to do dumb stuff. Like people just seem happier. It's like, oh yeah, now I spend my time doing this thing that I actually really wanted to do, but I couldn't do. And so their future becomes bigger and it becomes more fun. And they look forward to going into the office a little bit more in the morning. So yeah, I
And let's
definitely
face it,
think that.
aren't you a better friend, husband, uncle, if you're doing what you love?
If you come home filled up instead of drained,
Yeah.
right?
Show up, filled up. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really a mechanism in order to help people just stay filled up and stay energized. What
Love
if
it.
every day was a really good day because you didn't have to do boring stuff?
That's so good. Awesome. Awesome.
Well,
Where
thank
can
you so
people
much.
find out more about your book?
Yeah, AI is your teammate. You can get it on Amazon or anywhere where there are books. And you can find me at teammateai.com.
Awesome. Evan, it was a total blast. Stick on because I want to throw something at you, okay? Take
Yeah,
care,
thank you very much
everybody.
for having me.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.